I heard something this week, and it just stuck with me because I just thought to myself, you know what, there's so much truth in that, and it follows in from what we've been hearing today. Reality, so the real situation, a place of reality, is found in God's opinion and not in our observations or experiences. Let me say that again. If you want to know what's real, if you want to know what is true, what is absolute truth, that is not going to come from you and it's being expressed through what you experience. It's going to be expressed through what you're hearing from heaven and what God says about the situation at any point in time. And if we can grasp a bit of that today, it can change, revolutionize our life. Because so often we are talking to God about what he doesn't seem to be seeing about our situation. And rather, we should be asking him the question, Father, what do you think? What am I not seeing in this situation that you're doing? How are you working? How are you working this out for my good? Or how are you working in someone else's life in this situation? You know, when you're being delayed getting to your appointment or getting to your job or your work, it's so easy to think, this is all about my life going badly wrong. But what if it's about something else? What if it's about God's protecting you because by you being late, you're going to avoid something that he knows is going to happen? What if it's about someone else getting ahead of you and getting through the lights because actually they're more at the moment, they're slightly more important than you are? You know, our perspective is only a minute little sliver of reality. Reality comes when we hear from heaven and it changes. Just like Mum said, when God says to you, you're not good at receiving, that's suddenly, oh, okay, reality has changed. And as a result of that, something you do something different. And I want to give you a few examples of this that Jesus did, and just to kind of round it out from Scripture. I mean, first of all, you've heard the Bible said, Jesus said when at the very beginning of the Bible of the New Testament, when he's being challenged, he says to the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." There is something about the voice, the word, the truth of God spoken into a situation which will not only change it, but has the power to do more than we can ask or imagine. In Psalm 33, the Bible says, "He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." You know, if you're not seeing something, then what is God saying about that? Because if he's going to speak, it will come to pass. And if he has spoken it, it will stand firm. And those are the things that we're standing on. We are standing on not our hopes and dreams I think it might be okay. We're standing on what God has said about a situation. And it's easy to get the big pieces in our life. You know, we understand we may be following him, and we understand and we're standing on the truth of being saved, or understanding that we're on a journey with God. And but he wants to fill in the smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. And maturity is when we live by our view and our focus and our is through the lens of God, is through the lens of the Father, is how he sees it and not what we experience or what we think. There's a passage in Luke, there's a gospel, the whole chapter in Luke, which is really quite amazing. It's Luke 8. It starts off with a list of women who were following, quite powerful women who were following Jesus around and funding his ministry. So that's quite interesting. We could go off on a tangent on that if you wanted to. But basically, you know, some of those, you know, the beginning of John's gospel, it says he came to those who were his own and they didn't recognize him. But those who did see it, those who did understand that Jesus was something different, to those It made a difference. And for these women, it made a difference. So you read that bit. And then you roll on to the parable of the sower. And then you roll on to Jesus calming the waters. This is where you see the power of the words that God speaks. Now, Jesus says, I only speak the words that the Father gives me. He's on the boat, and you can read this, sir, I won't give you the whole thing. But the storm is coming up, and in one of the Gospels it says, he stands up and says, peace, be still. And the waves go flat, and it goes calm, and the disciples are freaked out. They're like, even the weather obeys this guy. What is it? What's going on? And I feel like God, it was taking the disciples, particularly on this journey. He's talked about the kind of he's talked about the parable of the seeds, where some seed does this, and some seed does that, and some seed does this. And now he's taking them on this journey of the power of what his word will do. To begin with, he says, it has an effect on nature, on the surroundings, and it calms the storm. And I believe that can still happen, okay? I mean, Tanya is a fantastic prayer for weather, and she has more faith for weather than I can comprehend. But I've lived the experiences, and if you were at Jess and Austin's wedding, we were in a pool of sunlight having a wedding when all around us was torrential rain. And every time I think of that, I think, God, so that there are practical things that he can say. And then we move on to the next story where Jesus is dealing with the man who's a demoniac, but basically is the guy had so many demons in him that he referred to himself as Legion because there were so many of them in there. And Jesus encounters this guy who's basically out of his mind and in such a distressed place that no one knows really who he is and what the reality is. And he starts speaking with him. He starts conversing with him. And then it says, he gave permission for the demons to leave him and go into the pigs. His voice had the authority to give, grant or not grant permission to the supernatural. So we've moved from the natural and now we've moved into the supernatural. And Jesus' voice is saying, if he says yes, it's yes. If he opens a door, that door is open. If he closes that door, in the heavenly realms, it is closed. And you've got to understand the power of the name of Jesus, the power of his words, the power of God's voice to do the supernatural and move from just the normal to the supernatural. Interestingly, is there a squirrel? That is very cute. That is very cute. Who would like the squirrel to be in here? Who would not like the squirrel to be in here? He's a regular attender. Is he in your house? Okay. If he comes in, just ignore him, okay? He is cute. Tanya really likes squirrels. And they don't have squirrels in Australia, so she's super... Just like you feel about kangaroos... She feels that about squirrels. And every time we drive in here, if they're in the bins, she's like, there's a squirrel. It's like the film Up. You understand what I'm saying. Let me get back to the point. Jesus has power over the supernatural and the natural. Then we move to the story of the woman with the issue of blood who'd run out of all human wisdom, and she knew that something of Jesus had the power to change her, and she receives her healing from him. And then finally, in the same chapter, we get to Jairus's daughter, and this is a person who goes to Jesus and says, I know you can do something. And he travels to her house. And this is probably the scripture that brings it out more than anything. Everyone else's reality was this girl who was 12 years old was dead. That was their reality. And they would have argued fervently that they saw it right. when Jesus arrived, he says, she's not dead, she's asleep. And they didn't believe him. The Bible says that they laughed. They laughed at Jesus and said, you've got it wrong. Now, the end of the story is that he had it right. His words trumped whatever they had seen, whatever they'd experienced, whatever they were going through, whatever they could tangibly touch or hear or listen. And I know it's difficult because we live in this input realm is so much, and we, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But more and more we live in a post-truth world. Where are you getting your truth from? Where are you getting your information from? Where are you getting your solid argument from? And what I want to say to you this morning is, reality is found in God's opinion of the circumstances and not in your own. Now, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do it because of Jesus. We have the opportunity to have communion with God continuously. Communion being a back and forward of conversation, a relationship, a talking. And we need to start to involve him at every single level. And the smaller you get down to the minute level, it isn't an indication of that you can't make a decision and you haven't got a brain. It's not about that. It's just you've come to the conclusion that it would be much better to refer to him in the first instance rather than the last instance. You know, the lady with the issue of blood, Jesus was her last port of call. She tried doctors. She spent all her money. She'd done everything else. And finally, she was coming to Jesus. But I want the first thing I think about to be Jesus. What's your opinion? And you can train yourself. You can, with commitment and with an attitude, you can come constantly refer. When I get up, I'm going to refer to him. Father, what do you think about today? I know what I think about today. I think I'm terrified. I think this, I think that. I think it's busy. I think, what do you think about today? What do you think about my journey? What do you think about my work colleagues? What do you think about what I need to do first? What do you think about? And it becomes a habit that Jesus demonstrated. Jesus, although we only see the bit that we can see, which is Jesus saying these words, but Jesus said, I only ever say what I hear the Father saying, and I only ever do what he tells me to do. And not only do I say the words, but I say them in the way that he wants me to say them. Words can be, the truth can be said very unkindly, or the truth can be said with great compassion. That's the difference between referring to God. I just told them the truth, you know. It's what they need, you know. We might even use the Bible. The truth will set them free. No, it's always the truth once we have a connection and a flow from heaven and a back and forward. And I just know that if we take a hold of this and if we start to put it into practice and we start to say to God, Father, what do you think about this situation? What do you think I should do? Then you'll start to see, first of all, you'll start to see life through God's eyes, which will renew your mind. It will start to give you an opinion of people and of situations that you didn't think about. And then you will partner with him. It will be an ongoing connection with God. You'll be doing it together with him. And you can let him point out the areas where you've got it wrong, which is so much better than someone else pointing it out. He's so much better at looking after you and understanding you and knowing what you need than you can imagine. But it starts with God. Father, what do you think? What do you think about this situation? And I hope today as we pray now that you would hear the Father's Father's voice. When Jesus was baptized, he heard the voice, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." That was the foundation point of the whole of his ministry, that he wasn't performing to try and get God's favor. He had God's favor. He knew who he was. He was his Son. God was pleased with him. God's pleased with me. Not because I get everything right. I genuinely don't get things right, you know? If you want to refer to Tanya, you can refer back to her for chapter and verse. But it was never about that. This life is not about you trying to get it right. This is about you being connected to God and walking through life with him, because it's too difficult without him. Let's pray. I was stalling a little bit there because I thought the kids were going to come back in at any moment, and they may still do, or the squirrel. So it's kids or squirrel, whichever you're more frightened of. Let's just pray. Father, oh, your voice. You spoke. You speak. You spoke creation into being. You spoke the stars into being. You spoke us into being. Your breath is life to us. Lord, your words, you speak words and bring healing. You speak words and bring encouragement. You speak words of eternal life. Where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. That's what his disciples said to Jesus. And Father, we want to be those who say, we can't live by bread alone. This is not about what we're going to eat for Christmas. This is about what you haven't, when have we last heard from you, God? When have we last been nourished by your voice, by your comfort? If there's any comfort of his love, if there's any encouragement, it's his word. It's every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Father, I thank that you've got a unique word for each one of us today. A word of encouragement, a word of direction, a word of wisdom. A perspective that we couldn't imagine or see, but you can. So, Father, I just thank you that today and in this week, we would just remember. Well, Father, what do you think about this? Father, what do you think about this situation? And we would wait long enough to hear, to start to hear that voice that gives us a perspective, or makes us feel differently or look differently. Lord, just continue to focus us and focus our gaze through that lens that's not our prescription, but it's your prescription. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to chat with each other and see the squirrel, you can go out through there.
This is really kind of flows right out of about you getting the word. You know, you get the right word at the right time. Now, we work with Colin Urquhart, who's just gone to glory a few weeks ago, and we were going down to his celebration of his life just a few weeks ago. And I recall the very first time I traveled out with Colin, and it was to a meeting in Portishead, and we were staying with the Judsons in Clevedon. And Colin said, I've been doing some kind of DIY. He says, you come out with me. So I was driving the car, and we had an expected time of arrival at the Judsons in Clevedon. I knew when it was, and I was driving the car, and I could sense we were not up to schedule. So I was pressing on, driving faster, thinking, we said we'd be there at 5:15 or whatever it was. We will be there at 5:15. So I push on, we arrive, and we walk in the house. And they're very welcoming, but they're not quite ready. And about, you know, 5:30, things are kind of ready. Colin just turned to me and he said this. He said, Always remember, if you start at the right time, you'll arrive at the right time. Now, we started at the right time, but you were determined to get there at the time that you'd said. But really, it was not the right time, because they weren't really ready for us. And so, just remember that. Now, I have lived with that ever since, and it is a word. I just believe it's a word for everyone. You all know what it is to be behind schedule and to be pressing on. I think Ella needs to hear this, starting on the right time. But the interesting thing is, going down to this celebration, we said we're going to leave about 10 o'clock. But we'd got ourselves ready, and it was about 9:30. I said, there's no point kicking around here for another half an hour. Let's get on the road. We got on the road, got on the M4. There's a closure. Between 13 and 14, they've closed the M4. Right. That's added 45 minutes onto our journey. We're on the M25. There's an accident on the junction of the M23. And we're being delayed. But I need to hear this word. If you start on the right time, you'll arrive on the right time. We drove into the service with about 15 minutes to spare. We got out of the car and we walked down it's a church. We walked just down this aisle, and there was Caroline, Colin's widow, just standing there. And we were just able to go straight up to her, give her a hug, and just really just share our sympathy with her. We'd started at the right time. We arrived at the right time. And I'm not saying I've always done this, because choosing a time of arrival and trying to go for it, Daniel will know that, is kind of one of my weaknesses. But I hear that word, because you see, when God puts a word into us, it will always be what we need to hear. Amen?